I'm going to tell a story that most of you have already heard, and you're going to say, yes, yes, I've heard that one. But I'm going to tell it in any case, because there may be one or two that haven't heard it before. There's a story of a flood, a guy that had a house in an area that was close to a river, and there was a flood that's going to come through, and the people knew that there was a flood coming through, and they told everybody that's living in that area, get out of your houses because there's a big flood coming through. And so this guy had said, he prayed and he said, I'm going to trust God to save me from this situation. And so the river started rising, and then the neighbors came to him and said, look, we've got space in your car, come with us, you know, your house is going to be washed away. He said, no, I trust God. And so the neighbors left, and then the water kept rising, and so the water came into the house above his mid-waist and stuff. So he eventually had to climb onto the roof of the house. When he was on the roof, a guy with a canoe came paddling by. He said, hey man, I've got space on the canoe. Come, get in the canoe. He said, no, no, God is going to save me. So after a while, a guy came with a motorboat. Police came with a motorboat, said, get into the boat, get into the boat. We came to save you. And said, no, no, God is going to save me. I prayed and I trust God. I put my faith in God. And so water rose higher, and he could just stand on the top of his roof. And the helicopter came by and said, grab onto this, hold of this rope ladder, and we'll take care of you. No, no, I still trust God to save me. And so the water rose, and his house was washed away, and he drowned. So when he came to heaven, he asked God, God, I put my faith in you. Why did you not come and save me? And God told him, I've sent you a guy with a car, I sent a guy with a canoe, I sent a motorboat, I sent a helicopter, but you didn't want any of my help. So the story of this is, he had in his mind figured out a specific way that God was going to save him, that God was going to deal with him. And that was not necessarily the plan or the way that God had in plan to deal with him. So what I'm going to talk about today is really about how God guides us today. You know, we all know we want to be led by God. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But how does he practically do it? So the first thing, the departure point, is to understand that it is firstly through the Bible. There are many ways that God guides us, and I'm going to go through them. But our departure point is, as it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So our departure point is that what is in the Bible is always true. That's not going to change. So if we want to know about something that God says, it must match and agree with what the Bible says. So if we want to know how God guides us, God gives us many specific truths for all Christians. And I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 7. This is an example. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, and we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. So if we wonder, God, how do you lead me in this specific situation? Should you do this? I mean, there's been stories of guys that started, married people that started a relationship with other people because they felt God called them to be a comforter to this other woman. That is clearly in contradiction to his word. There is no question, is this God leading you or not? No, it's not. You know, Matthew 22, verse 39, and the second, when asked the biggest commandment, the second commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're wondering, does God call me to do something or not, and it is not loving your neighbor, then you have to say, but if it contradicts the word of God, is this really God calling me? So if whatever you feel that God is leading you to do and you see it doesn't quite match with the word, don't do it. The Bible is often also used to confirm what God is already telling us as well. Now, there's a word of warning in here, because we hear of many people that says, I want to know what God says I should do in this situation. So I'm closing my eyes and opening the Bible and read a specific verse. There's been many stories of where good things have come out of that because they got direction, they did it, and it was the right thing. And those are the stories we like to tell. But there are many stories where people did it, they opened the Bible, got to a verse, and disaster happened because they misread what God wanted to do. So when we follow that approach, it's a little bit like casting a dice, or rolling a dice. Now, we do read in the Bible a lot about casting the lot. You know, when the disciples appointed a new one after Judas Iscariot, it talked about casting a lot in Acts 1 verse 26. This was, however, a specific instruction from God. So if God tells us to cast a lot, to see what he says, then we do it. If God tells us, I want you to open the Bible at this point in time, then we do it. But not because we feel we want to take a chance with a thing. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if we understand the will of the Lord, we will know, God, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? Another way that God leads us is through counsel of wise friends. There are so many verses in Proverbs. I'm just going to read two of them. 12 verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. We often like to do our own thing, and I know everything. Why should I listen to other people? The answer is because the Word of God says it's a good thing. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So sometimes we often get this feeling that God wants us to do something, and is it from God or not? And so God wants us to check it with other people. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6 and 7, Jonathan was, and his arm bearer was going towards the camp of the Philistines. So Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. So when Jonathan went there, he said, it may be. He wasn't sure yet. And his armor bearer then said to him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. His armor bearer had that confirmation. And so they did, and God gave them a great victory. Now, there is a danger that we can select the people that we want to go to. If I feel I want to go to Thailand, and I start feeling, oh, it's really what I want to do. I'm not sure if God wants it or not, but I'll ask some wise people. And I know Barry and Liz is there, so I'll ask them, do you think God wants us to move there? Because I select people that I know, they are likely to say yes to whatever I will, because they've got part of their own desire as well. The Word tells us, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. We have to be really open and honest and ask God, God, who are the people that I can trust in my life? When we're part of a church community, we know that the authority that's in the church is also coming from God. And so God has given them to us a little bit as a safety net as well. So if I've got life decisions, you know, I think it's right that I should go and talk to our church leaders as well. We came to Perth about 7 years ago. And it was a long journey, long before that we felt we wanted to come to Perth. And we struggled with this thing. Is this from God or not? Is it God that's putting this in our heart or not? And there were a few opportunities for us to go to other places as well. But the first time we actually got a job offer in Perth, and God, is this from you or not? And we went to our church leaders and we told them, look, this is what we feel. And we prayed about it together. And I have to say, I was really disappointed with Dave Wallen at that point in time. Because the previous time when we got a job offer and we prayed with Dave about it, and then Dave told us, you know, I don't feel it's the right thing. And this time we went and we prayed with Dave and the other elders, and then Dave said, well, I don't really feel anything. You need to hear from God for yourself. But through the whole thing, Dave did guide us into as well, how do we hear the word from God? And we'll come to some of the other things as well. But it was not the will of God for our hearts at that point in time. So, one of the ways that God leads us, we know that God gave us His Holy Spirit. So it's often through the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Something that we feel, something that Charlene felt this morning, I feel that God says I should do that. Is it from God or not? I don't know. So this was actually a good example. Charlene brought it to Mark. Mark was actually leading the meeting. And Mark had to practice discernment to say, is this what God wants to do at this point in time? So in a church context, I want to bring freedom in this. We know that the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's given for the building up of the church. And if you're not sure, is this from God or not? God put somebody in charge of leading the meeting, because we know the Bible says all authority is from God. Go and check with them. It's a little bit of a safety net, you know. So feel comfortable. Bring it to whoever is leading the meeting. Don't feel offended if they say, I think just park it for there for a later time, maybe not now. But it may just be that that thing changes the whole meeting. So sometimes when we feel this nudging, there is a question, is it always from the Holy Spirit or not? Because sometimes when I get a nudging, sometimes it is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it is just from myself because I like to do it. Like I feel a nudging to go and eat a caramel ice cream. Maybe, so did God nudge me to go and eat a caramel ice cream? Maybe if I go there and I buy an ice cream, I go and meet somebody and start talking to him. It could be. But maybe I just have a sweet tooth and want to eat a caramel ice cream. So when we feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, it's really important for us to ask God and to try to understand, where does this come from? Is this from God or is this just from myself? I mean, so often we hear people saying with everything they do in life, they will tell you, God told me to do this and God told me to do this. And, you know, I just sometimes think we need to be really careful. If we say God told me to do this, we need to be really careful and be sure that, yes, God told me to do this, and this is not just something that is my own idea. And I'm not saying all our own ideas are bad ideas or anything like that. Sometimes God just leaves us free to do whatever we want in certain circumstances. But we need to be careful. So Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately seek. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And Psalm 139 verse 23 also David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We can ask God, this thing that I'm feeling to do, is this from you, God? God, you search my heart and show it to me. Is this from you or not? It is not that we are always that clear. We read the verse about Jonathan and his arm bearer. And the words of Jonathan was that it may be that the Lord will work for us. So there was that little bit element of uncertainty. Is this really from God or not? Yet he had confirmation, and they went forward, and based on what they heard, they had said, God, if this is from you, and God confirmed his word to them before they went to attack the Philistines. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So if we wonder, is this from God or not? And especially when it comes to big life decisions, it's really important that we have to find out, God, is this really from you or not? If we feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, it is not always going to mean that it is going to be something that is fun to do or that we're going to enjoy. If we read in Luke 4 verse 1 to 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. That does not sound like a fun thing to me. I do not know if I want God to lead me like that, but that is what God did. And it worked out all for the good for us, because this is what's in the Bible today. And we learn from Jesus how he dealt with temptation. In Acts 20, we also read that Paul says, Acts 20 verse 22 and 23, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit," in other words, bound by the Spirit to do this, "not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me." Paul knew when he was going to Jerusalem, it's not going to be fun for him, but he still felt the Holy Spirit, he had a conviction in his heart that the Holy Spirit wanted him to do that. And we read later on, we know that Paul then did go to Jerusalem, and a lot of things happened with him in Jerusalem. The Jews wanted to get really nasty with him. They caught him and they handed him over to the Romans. In Philippians 1 verse 12, he said, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." So what he felt God called him to do wasn't nice for him. But he had the joy in knowing that this, what happened to him, advanced the gospel. Another way that God leads us is just common sense sometimes. You know, we sometimes get so paralyzed with doing nothing because I didn't get a clear leading from God what to do. So think of yourself, you're busy crossing a road, and you drop a coin on the road, and you bend, start picking up a coin, and then suddenly you see a car speeding down the road straight towards you. Do you have to wait for God to tell you to move out of the way of the car, or do you just act and you do something about it? You know, God gave us a brain as well. We often talk about medicine, and we know that God gave us the skills and stuff for medicine to be developed. So it's not against God's will to do medicine. It is also not against God's will to use common sense, to use our brains, to tell me I need to get out of the way of this car. Proverbs 16 verse 22 says, "Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly." So the fact that God gave us a brain also means that when we take decisions, we have to think, what impact does it have and will it have on what God has called us to do, you know? If I feel now that I got this new job offer, it's going to take me away from home 6 months or 6 weeks out of 8 weeks, and the money is going to be great. I'm going to be able to provide for my family. And I ask God to lead me through this thing. Then I might not hear anything from God necessarily, but I have to use my common sense there as well. Will it be good for what God has called me to do? God has called me to be part of a community. Will it be good for this community? Will it be good for my marriage? For the people around me that God has placed in my care. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So when we use our common sense, we want to also know that God, I want my common sense to tell me what it is that you want us to do. We should think, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." When we are saved and when we have the mind of Christ, we think like Christ, and it will be easier to apply his wisdom into our common scenarios as well. So another way that God leads and guides us, we talk now about common sense, but it's also circumstances and providence. We read in Acts 16, verse 25 to 35, there was a Philippian jailer. Also, Paul and Silas, they were thrown into jail. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible that Paul or Silas found that we had a prompting to go and speak to a Philippian jailer. That is not what I read in the Bible. I read that they were thrown into jail. They were singing in jail. And then there was an earthquake, and the jailer wanted to kill his life, and they started speaking to the jailer. So there's a whole lot of providences that happened, or things that God ordained to happen, to the point where the jailer accepted Jesus, and him and his family were saved. You know, so sometimes we have to act on the things that God has actually laid on our path at this point in time. If God prompts us to start talking to somebody where I'm standing in a queue in a bank, that is God's providence that we are there, and that person might just need to hear something from us. So that's common, or God's providence, and something else, another way that God leads us is actually with specific instructions. And often when we are looking for the will of God for our lives, we read in the Bible that there's specific dreams and visions, and for Belshazzar, you know, God wrote on the wall. He didn't understand what was written, but with a hand that came and wrote on the wall. And we often talk about we would like to see God writing on a wall. We would not like to get this clear, clear confirmation. I would love it as well, but God doesn't always talk to us like that. But God can talk like that as well. It can take any of many shapes, you know. Some people have heard the audible voice of God. God, what is it that you want to do here? You know, there's so many different stories. A guy that got lost and he eventually started praying, God, which way do I go? And then he heard a voice that said left. And he turned left and he soon found his way out. You know, there are many cases. We read in the Bible as well, God spoke to Adam, God spoke to Moses. To many people, God spoke in an audible voice that they could hear. Now, the one thing that we sometimes like to do is, especially when we've had an experience of God working in a certain way, we say, God, I need your guidance again. Previous time, you did it like this. Or I see in the Bible, you spoke in an audible voice. Therefore, I demand that you speak like that again. So we try to dictate how God must act and speak to us. But God doesn't always do it the same way. You know, sometimes we might get, like, I'm sure Dave, when he said, no, I don't feel anything. You know, it wasn't the same as the previous time when we asked Dave to pray for us, what does God say? The first time God gave was specific to Dave as well and said, no, I don't think it's the right thing. This time Dave said, I don't know, I think you need to hear God. By the way, the outcome of that time was it wasn't the right time for us to come to Australia. And we still had that stirring and prompting that we wanted to come to Australia. And later on, we prayed about it again. And, you know, when we talk about specific instruction, I struggled with the concept that is it just our own desire to want to go to Australia? This nudging of the Holy Spirit, you know, is it from God or is it from us? And I wanted to know, God, is this from you or from us? And I started feeling, you know, it almost feels like a runaway because we're part of the church in Doha, and what does God want for our lives? And I felt like it was a cop-out for me to want to go to Australia, and I was praying about it, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a sudden, such a clear message in my mind, as I've never had, apart from that one time, that said, who told you that I do not want you to go to Australia? Who told you that I only work in Doha? And that just blew my mind. I thought, oh my word. And so I went back to our church leaders and we prayed about it. And they said that they can feel and see that it is the right thing. It was a thing of timing as well. And many other things had happened as far as timing goes. But God confirmed his word, the desire that he put in our hearts. He confirmed it to us so that we knew it was him that's talking. So these physical demonstrations, we read about Moses with a burning bush. It's nothing that says it can't happen today as well. We like God to be very specific if we can. Dreams and visions. The Bible is full of story of people who heard from God in dreams and visions. And in Joel 2 verse 28 it said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So that is not something to be afraid of. When we get dreams and visions, though, and we know it's from God, I'll come back to that a little bit later. There's angels that's bringing specific words, that brought specific words. Now, the word angel actually means messenger. And we read specifically in the Bible how angels came to people and told them, gave them specific instructions. You've got to name your child this, you've got to do this, or you've got to do that. Zechariah in Luke 1 verse 14 to 17, talking about John, for Mary, who told about Jesus that was going to come, and then for Cornelius as well in Acts 11 verse 13. Another way that God leads and guides us is through the gifts of the Spirit as well. That is often in a church context. So prophetic input, words into your life, that would be from God as well. The danger with some of this is that I don't hear God to speak anything to myself, therefore I hear there's a guy over there with a prophetic gifting, so I'll run to him and find out what is it that God says to me, and then I take that, and then for a week later I haven't heard anything else, and there's another guy, and I'll run to him and hear what does God say. Now the Word says that the prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The prophetic is not there for us to say that we don't hear from God, therefore somebody else should tell me what God is saying. The prophetic is often in our context, God confirming His Word, what He is already talking to you. When we wanted to come to Australia, and we had this desire, there on more than one occasion, Kevin had a word for us, and I can't remember the details of the word, Kevin van Eck. We were sitting in church one day, he was still in Dubai, and he came over, and he had a word for me and Charlene about going. And at that point in time, we had already known that God is calling us, and he pulled on our strings, and we had a discussion with Dave and Rob at that point in time. Similarly, there was another guy, Mike Hanchett, who came, and we had a meal with him and Rob and Alette, and then he said, you know, it just feels like this, and we were thinking about timing. We already knew that God had called us to go, and he said, it just feels, you know, you can see a ruler that is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And he also said, he prophesied then and said that he just also see that it is not something that's coming to a stop. He sees it as strings from there going to Australia as well and all over the world. And we could actually afterwards really see how God has orchestrated and worked that. We still have connections with Rob and Elette and with the church in Doha. So all those connections are all those strings that God is creating all over the world, to Thailand, to Barry and Liz. We met you, I don't know where we met you the first time, but I met you again in Doha. there was a connection with Mark and Sharon, actually, you know, the same thing. There was a connection there that happened at the airport when we started talking to them, before we were part of this church. So this word of strings really became true in our lives as well. The Church of God being all this connections across the world. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 to 21 says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Now the word there says that we have to test everything, because in the same way that we talked about this nudging of the Holy Spirit, and that we may sometimes get it wrong if it's from me or if it's from God. And so sometimes when people bring prophetic words, we have to test, is this really from God or not? Because sometimes people step out and they are not even sure, and they give a word. And then we have to take that word, not necessarily as gospel, but test it and see, is this what God says to me or not? There's been many stories of people bringing prophetic words. John Piper told a story of a guy bringing him a prophetic word when his wife was pregnant with I don't know which child it was. And he got a word that said, look, it's going to be a daughter, but she's going to be stillborn. You know, she's going to be basically dead when she was born. He just had this prophetic word to him. And so he tested that word, and he didn't feel it was edifying, encouraging, or anything. And he didn't share the word with his wife as well. And the child was born healthy. It was a boy. So that word, obviously, that this person had felt was not relevant for them. So when we get prophetic words, we should test them against the Word of God. But is this really what God is saying to me or not? And it is not to attack the person who brought the word. They might just have had it wrong. But is take it back and test it, take it to God and test it with God. So if we want to be led by God and guided by God, there is a few things that God wants from us as well. First one is that we need to get rid of specific known sins in our lives, sin in our lives. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." God wants us to be in a right standing with him. 1 John 1 verse 8 to 9 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What God wants to do, he does not want our sin to bring this barrier between us. He wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God also knows that we cannot cleanse ourselves. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It is only through believing in Jesus that our sins can be cleansed. If you have not come to a point in your life where you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, or where you know that your sins are cleansed, that all your sins, everything that you've done wrong is forgiven through the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, I want to ask you today, don't wait. Today is the time to get right with God. But Psalm 66 verse 18 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Now David was writing this, and we know that David loved God. But it's still possible for people that even after they're saved, that they can cherish sin in their heart. You know, there may be something that you just really like doing. You know it's not from God. God wants us to get rid of that in our lives. Another hindrance for us being led by God is that we've sometimes made up our minds before we ask God if this is your will. We talked about understanding. Is this from God or is it from myself? And Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." Sometimes we like, if we want to do something specifically, we feel it so strongly that we've made up our mind, and after that we'll go and start asking for confirmation. "Look, do you agree that this is what God is saying? Do you agree that God says I should have that caramel ice cream?" And then be humble. Do not let pride stand in your way of what God wants to tell to you. In Psalm 25 verse 9 he says, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way." If we want to know what God is guiding us to do and leading us, we have to be humble. If we see ourselves as too important or pride stands in the way, it's going to be difficult for God to show us what it is that he wants to teach us. David was a king of Israel, and this verse was actually written by David, that God teaches the humble his way. And David was called a man after God's own heart in Acts 13:22. So when we hear from God, or when we hear something that is seems like God is trying to lead us to do something, we also have a response. There's something that we need to do. The first thing that we need to do is we need to test, is this from God or not? So it's important that when we get the leading to say do something, we find out, is this God speaking or is this just a distraction? We know that we talked about 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 and 21 that says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good." And the reason Paul wrote that is he knew that there would be prophecies in church that's not necessarily 100% coming from God. And in 1 John 4 verse 1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets had gone out into the world." So how do we test these words, the prophetic words, or how do we test these spirits that's trying to tell us things? The first thing, is it biblical? Does it agree with the Word of God? Or does it go against anything that the Word is saying? I used the example of a guy earlier that said, I need to establish a relationship with the other woman to help her out of her unhappy marriage. That does not gel with the Word of God. Is there the next thing is there a witness of the Holy Spirit that it is really from God, or is there a sense of unease? When we wanted to know, is it God's will that we go to Australia now, David asked us, do you have peace about your decision? Do you have complete peace? And it sounds like an easy question, but for us it wasn't initially really that easy to find out, do we have really peace about this decision or not? Because obviously there's all this, you know, excitement about going to something new, and it's a little bit scary as well, and so do you feel peace about it or not? And we had to ask God, God, will you show us and tell us and give us peace? There's been other situations in our life as well, even here in Australia, where we had to make decisions and we said, we really need the peace of God in the situation. And we had to think through the options. What if we do this one? Do we have peace about this? What if we do this? Do we have peace about that? And that's really, we had to trust God to give us peace about certain decisions in our life as well. If we feel uneasy about the decision that we're taking, we have to trust and ask God, God, is this from you then? Next test is also, does this word or that you received or this desire, does it agree with what God is already saying, either in the church or to you? So there's common sense practically saying that we're going to look at what is making that noise. Yeah. Next test also is, does a person that is bringing this word bear true in his life? You know, Matthew 7 verse 15 and 16 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now sometimes we become so scared of false prophets that we throw out any prophetic word that we get. And that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, watch out for false prophets. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So if we look at what these persons are doing, if there's a guy that's cheating on his wife and he comes to me and says, I've got a prophetic word for you, I would probably be a little bit careful about what he's saying. You know, we've had people speaking into our lives previously as well that had words for us as well. And those words were not necessarily encouraging, edifying, or good for the benefit of the church as well. And we had to take them to our leadership and they had said, but we don't have peace about this word at all. And we had to say, no, we don't accept these words. If we then know, we test these words and we know that this is from God, or we test this leading, we also have a responsibility then to respond. If we feel that God is leading us in a certain way and we've got confirmation, God, this is what you want to do, we have to respond as well. James 1 verse 22 to 24 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. If we know God has called us to serve in a specific way, we've got the responsibility to serve. It may not necessarily be nice. It may mean it's going to take up some of our personal time. It may mean some discomfort for us. It means that I don't take my time off. I need to go and do something. It may mean that financially we may sow into something, so I cannot buy my dream boat with this money that I put aside. It could mean one of many things. In terms of our response, I have two questions. that I would leave to you. What was the last thing that you had felt God told you? It could be in any area of your life, but what was the last thing that you felt that God had led you to do? And the next question that I have is, were you obedient to that? Or is there still something that you feel that God wants you to do about that word? Can I pray for us, Mark? Father God, I just want to thank you that you are good, that you sent your Son Jesus to earth to die for our sins on a cross. I thank you that you have an interest in our lives and that you want to lead and guide us from the small decisions in our life to the big decisions, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll open our hearts to hear what it is that you have to say to us, Lord Jesus, and show us, Lord Jesus, where we have not been obedient, Lord. Give us courage, Lord. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.